you feel when one day you found out that your father wasn't really your father? Your dad, you knew your entire life, wasn't your biological father. That's what happened to our next guest. He is a former senior speechwriter for President Barack Obama. He will be in town next week at the Northbrook Public Library next Tuesday at 7 o'clock and Evanston Public Library next Wednesday at 3. His book is entitled The Survivors. It is Adam Frankel joining us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's all I can say. First of all, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Adam, tell me about that day, that very moment when your life changed forever.
Well, it was a tough moment. You know, I pieced some things together. You know, I mean, my mother didn't come out and volunteer this information. I started to pull some threads together, had some conversations with her and my dad, and realized that my mother was withholding some information from me and was being a bit cagey about how much she wanted to share about my past, why she'd split from my dad when I was young. And I confronted her on it. She continued to kind of dodge the question, and I pushed and pushed and, you know, saying, "Mom, who's my dad? Who's my father?" And she finally told me. And I'll tell you, the rug was pulled out from under me. I mean, I'm very close to my dad and his family, and I draw a lot of my identity from them. In that moment, I didn't know who I was. I remember looking down at my legs, at my hands, and feeling like I was inhabiting a stranger's body. And that was a feeling I would have many times over the years. I mean, I in that moment, I asked my mom, you know, who knows about this? Who knows that dad isn't my biological father? You know, does dad know? And she said, no, God, no. It would break his heart.
Gosh.
So I held on to that secret for about a decade before, from my own father, before mustering the courage to have a conversation with him about it.
Boy, once you find something out like this, you start to question your self-worth, your drive that you thought came from your family bloodline, you questioned that. I mean, you must have just been in just completely lost.
I was. You question everything. I mean, it's a fundamental thing. You know, your parents, who are your parents? It's something that I think, you know, we all think we know. and it's such a bedrock part of our identity. And it's, you know, it's not just your parents, right? It's your grandparents, it's cousins, it's aunts and uncles. I mean, it's a whole family. Then all of a sudden, I realized I was not related to by blood. And, you know, the secrets around it, the fact that my own dad didn't know, that my grandparents didn't know, at least so I thought at the time, that none of my family knew it, and that this had to be a secret that I would have to keep with my mother, made it that much harder.
Wow.
You know, it turns out I learned years later that, you know, one other person was in on the secret, and that was my biological father himself.
Oh, my gosh.
That it was I, Pete, believe it or not, it took me a while to wrap my head around this one. I was a secret baby that they decided to have. I was a planned pregnancy.
Wow.
So once I started trying to put these pieces together, my head just kept spinning faster and faster.
Well, the book is called The Survivors. Tell me about that moment where you had the talk with your dad that he wasn't your dad.
Well, you know, I called him up and I said, and this, again, was about almost a decade after I first learned this truth. I sat on it for 10 years.
Oh, you know, gosh.
I was terrified of talking to him about it. And it wasn't that I thought he would abandon me. My dad's my dad. I knew he loved me. But I was scared to death that he would look at me just a little differently, that the tone of his voice would be just a little different, and that somehow I'd sense that he didn't look at me as his son anymore. And that's what just broke me up. And that's
sure.
Why I was so scared to tell him. And so I finally decided to tell him, or talk to him about it. And I took the train up to see him outside New York City. And we sat down and I started going through the story and how I'd learned the information. And when I got to it, I said, you know, Mom told me, you know, all these years ago that I'm, as I call him in the book, Jason Black's biological son, I'm crying. I'm bawling at this point. I mean, I can barely get the words out, you know. And he,
of course.
And I hear him say, I know, I know. And I'm just stunned. I'm trying to listen through the tears. Are you saying you know? What do you mean? And he says, I've always known it was possible, he said. But I made a decision a long time ago that it doesn't matter one way or another. You're my son, and you always will be. And, I'll tell you, I mean, I can get choked up just now thinking about that. But I just went up and I gave him the biggest hug that I've ever given my dad. And then he said, is that all?
Oh my God!
Trying to lighten the mood.
Wow.
You know, but and we're closer now than we ever have been.
How did you go about finding your biological father?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't that hard because he has been a presence in my life all my life. I've known him since as long as I can remember. I knew him as a, you know, quote unquote family friend. Growing up, he would show up at birthdays. He would be there at other kind of family occasions. He was a professor of my mother's in graduate school. In fact, he had a whole family that he was, you know, a part of and married to at the time that he had an affair with my mother. And I, on various trips, have stayed with family members when I was growing up without any of us knowing we were related. I mean, at the 2000 Democratic National Convention in L.A., I stayed with my half-sister without either of us knowing we were half-brother and sister. So all this stuff, I mean, that was part of what was just so hard to wrap my head around was, you know, it's as if I had this sort of shadow life and shadow biography.
Sure.
That I wasn't aware of. And then looking back, a lot of dots suddenly emerged that I could connect.
What did your biological father say when you confronted him?
I reached out to him. It took me years to decide to reach out to him because, you know, for a number of years after learning this whole thing, I just buried it. I didn't want to deal with it. I couldn't deal with it. And I reached out to him shortly after getting married when we were thinking about having kids. And I said, look, my mother informed me of this. And at the very least, I'd like to get a paternity test and, you know, see what it says. And he wrote back with sort of supreme confidence that the results would be affirmative, but they'd be happy to talk about all this. And the results, needless to say, were affirmative of that paternity test.
Wow.
And we had all kind. We you know, over the coming months, we would meet from time to time, and I tried to get to know him in this new capacity. It was a strange experience. You know, you feel a strong kinship. I felt a strong kinship to him. I mean, he is my biological father, and yet he just felt so different from anything I've ever known. He's a very different man than my
right.
own dad. And the lesson here, I got to tell you, Pete, the lesson that I learned from this whole experience is that family is built not on biology, it's built on love.
Wow. I mean, what a story. I'm just blown away by this story. It's called The Survivors. We're talking with Adam Frankel. He'll be in town in Northbrook next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the library, then Evanston next Wednesday at 3 o'clock, also at the library, talking about his book. I have a family friend who just went through a similar thing because nowadays with these DNA tests, secrets can't be kept anymore. Her mother had an affair 46 years ago and never told her. She had a DNA test and she found out that her father wasn't her father. And she confronted her mother and her mother said, I had an affair. Do not tell your father. And she sat on it for 4 years and she's like, no, I got to find my biological father. How crazy is that? And of course, he was 20 minutes away and also a family friend. That's usually how it is.
Yeah. And a lot of people are having these revelations because of 23andMe and Ancestry.com. And it's a lot of these sort of very disorienting, painful revelations are happening all over the place.
Wow.
And part of the reason I wrote the book was for my own sake and my family's sake to just process all of this and try and move forward with my life.
Sure.
But I also wrote it for others because there are a lot of people who are grappling with these issues and there's not a lot of resources. I mean, when I was going through all this and trying to make sense of it, I had a tough time finding accounts of people who'd experienced something similar. And so I had to track down like a PhD dissertation in Australia to find testimonials of folks who are called late discovery adoptees or donor conceived children in some instances, whose experience is in many cases very similar. So I'm hoping one of my hopes with the book is that people who are wrestling with these disclosures or know somebody who is can see a path forward for themselves or other people in this story.
At 25, you were living in Chicago working with Barack Obama. He was running for president at the time. When you found out that your father wasn't your biological father, what did Barack Obama say to you?
He said, you know, he said, how did you figure it out? Is your dad black? I shared all of this with him about a year ago, because the truth is, I learned this revelation months before joining his campaign in 2007. And while I was I was a second speechwriter hired on that campaign and was with him through the first term in the White House. And all that time I buried this. I couldn't deal with it. I wanted to focus on my job, and it was
right.
It was important to me to focus on my job. And so I only was able to open up much later. And so I went to see him about a year ago, and I shared all of this with him. And I told him, he asked me what I was up to. I shared that I was working on a book, and he asked what it was about. So I told him the whole story. I also told him I was writing about the broader ways in which the trauma of World War II has reverberated through my family, from my grandparents who were Holocaust survivors to my mother and her struggles with mental health issues to this sort of crazy family experience. And I said I was writing about some of the aspects of intergenerational trauma, and he goes, "Sounds like a real beach read," which I thought was pretty funny as well.
Tell me about working on the campaign, what it was like behind the scenes working with Barack and Michelle Obama.
Look, it was a dream job. I mean, it's rare to have a chance to work with somebody, you know, especially maybe in politics, who you admire so much, who's everything you want them to be. I mean, Barack Obama would say about people he admired, "So and so is as you want that person to be," and Barack Obama is as you want him to be, and so is Michelle Obama, and they're as good, as decent, as caring, compassionate, and smart as you want them to be. And he also happens to be a pretty outstanding writer. So for all of the speechwriters, you know, we got great. He always made our speeches better. I mean, we get these drafts back with his incredibly good penmanship, you know, all over him. This tiny handwriting where he would just be adding turns of phrases or restructuring the speech in ways that, you know, as far as I could tell, always made the speeches better. So it was a great, you know, wholly apart from the experience of being a part of something that we felt like was really making the country better and being a part of that progressive enterprise, just as a speechwriter,
right.
It was a unique and wonderful experience.
That is awesome. The name of the book is called The Survivors. Adam Frankel will be in town again. Northbrook Public Library, Tuesday at 7. Evanston Public Library, Wednesday at 3. Adam, thanks for coming on and sharing. What a story you have, and you put it in a book, and people can check it out.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Pete.
Have a great night. Thanks, man.
Take care.